Well, good morning, everyone. So today we're still in our series in Galatians. We're about the midpoint of the book. As noted before, Galatians is kind of an interesting letter. It's not a terribly long letter, and Paul has one point he just wants to hammer home, and he keeps coming back to it. He keeps trying to find new ways to convince you of this point, or convince the Galatians of this point. And so this idea that, you know, we've got this letter, it's got this repetitive nature, it keeps coming back to it, but there are these parts of it that just stand out amazingly well, right? I mean, they just sort of pop and they just sort of become, they're almost standalone. And today we get to begin with one of these passages. It's a marvelous passage. It's at the end of chapter 3. So chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean, you think about this passage, right? In Christ, there's no Jew nor Greek. There's no slave nor free. There's no male nor female, because we're all one in Christ Jesus. And you hear this and you think, yeah, we know that, right? I mean, this is the problem with being 21st century Americans, right? We know we're all equal, right? We know we've all been endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights that we've been created. I mean, we know all of this stuff, right? There doesn't seem to be anything particularly amazing about Paul coming along and saying, look, you're all the same. But you got to remember, where did we get the idea that we're all the same? Well, we got it from right here. I mean, you think about sort of the world at this time, right? If you were to go around the world at the time Paul is writing and ask, okay, are there big differences between slaves and free people? Well, obviously there are. There's differences between kings and peasants. There's difference between Jews and Greeks. There's difference between the Jews and the Greeks and the Romans and the Babylonians and the Persians. I mean, these are all completely different kinds of people. Men, women, I mean, everybody, and everybody's got their spots in society, and it's all hierarchical. And we all know that people aren't equal in any sense whatsoever. There's literally no idea of equality here. And then suddenly, Christ comes along, and Paul can say, you know what? Jews, Gentiles, the same. Slaves, free, the same. Men, women, the same. In Christ, we are equal. We don't have any hierarchy anymore in this sort of idea of this, how we think about each other. You meet someone and you meet them as an equal. And it doesn't matter where they're from, and it doesn't matter who they are, and it doesn't matter. And suddenly you realize it goes the other way too. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're one of the elite or not one of the elite. Christ died for you too. And it makes no difference where you're from. Christ died for you. And this is incredible news. In fact, if we were to think about, like, what is the best possible news we could imagine? How's this? I don't care who you are or what your background is. God sent his son to die, and you can be baptized in Christ, and you can become one of Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You get to inherit all the blessings of God, no matter who you are. I mean, you just think about that, and you imagine hearing that message for the first time in a society where nobody has ever treated you like an equal. I mean, you want the good news of the gospel? I mean, here it is. I mean, this is fantastic news. That the God of the universe loves you. And you imagine this, right? And Paul, you can tell, is so excited to talk about this, right? I mean, this is an amazingly great thing. And he goes to the Galatians originally, and he tells them this message. And you can imagine the Galatians are excited to hear all this. And I mean, this is like, gotta be, like, we should just be waking up every day just as happy as can be about this. So given that, why is Paul so unbelievably angry in this whole letter? I mean, this is a very angry letter, as we've noted before. He's just like, can't even believe what's going on. So why is he so upset when he's got this amazingly happy message? He's writing to people who believe an amazingly happy message. What got in the way here? What's the problem? And the problem here, Paul says, is the law. Now, when we hear the law, what you have to kind of imagine is like, imagine you're watching a movie and there's like the happy village and the sort of just wonderful surroundings and everybody's cheerful. And then suddenly the music changes and the law comes in. And the law is like that ominous, villainous figure, right? And you sort of, you can tell by the music that, oh, wow, the law is just this bad day, right? And so that's what you want to hear. When you hear the law, you want to hear that ominous music in the back of your mind, like, ooh, not the law. That's a... But it turns out, that's not quite the right movie Paul wants to tell. He tells the story the other way. And we'll back up here to verse 23. By the way, this is one of these interesting translation things, right? So in the Greek, there's no paragraph. So in the NIV, chapter 23 is in a different paragraph than the part we read before. In the English Standard Version, it's all the same paragraph. So we'll start at what the paragraph is here. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law. I mean, think about that phrase. We were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean, the movie here is, it starts out and everybody is living under the law. And they're like held captive under the law. And so this is one of those movies that starts in the sort of dystopian world where the law is there. And then suddenly, out of the blue, our hero shows up. They blow up the Death Star, and the Ewoks are just cheering in the streets, right? And it has an amazingly happy ending, right? That's the story Paul is telling here. It's like he watched the movie and he said, look, that's right. It's exactly right. The law was the Galactic Empire, and Christ blows up the Death Star, and it should be this massive party, and we should all be celebrating and happy in the street, and we should be so glad that the law is gone now. And what are we? We are free. We're free of all of that. We're now happy and cheerful and dancing in the streets because the law is gone. About, well, the law is that whole Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments. I mean, God has his Ten Commandments, he hands down, and you got these Ten Commandments that are on stone, and then all these rules being written about it, and here we are living under that world of the law, and then one day we are free, and when we are free of that, we should be rejoicing. So what's the problem then? And the problem is the Galatians, they're dancing in the street, and then the party ends, and they say, okay, now let's go back and live under the law again. Let's go back and do this thing again. And Paul is perplexed. He says that, right? Verse 20. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. He's legitimately perplexed. Here you have people that have been slaves under the law, imprisoned under the law. They are set free. And what are they doing? They're going right back. I mean, you think about life under the law, and your life under the law, and you got all these rules, right? You got this law that you have to follow. And every day you're trying to follow the law, and you're thinking, I need to follow the law, because if I follow the law, then God will be happy with me. And if I don't follow the law, God will be angry with me. And so I have to follow this law. But you know what? You can't follow the law. You break it all the time. So when you're living under the law, you are living under this perpetual awareness that, well, God is unhappy with me again today, because here it is, I broke the law again, and I can't escape this. Every day I wake up and there's all these rules, and then I break the rules, and God's unhappy with me again. And we know this about the law. We know the law can't save us. We know the law can't make God happy with us, right? If the law could save us, we don't need Christ. That's what Paul said earlier. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. That's the whole point here. The law can't get us out of this trap. Christ can get us out of this trap. Christ did get us out of this trap. Christ did bring us freedom, And then what do? We head straight back under the law. It's like the passages Amy read earlier, right? The first one, the Old Testament, right? The Israelites, they cross the Red Sea, right? They are escaping from slavery in Egypt. The waves come in, they crush Pharaoh. And now the Israelites are free. They've been in captivity in Egypt. They're now free. They're singing this great song of praise. And then you can imagine at the end of it was, all right, well, it's time to go back to Egypt now. And you'd say, what? You're free now. Or the story from the New Testament. You got the guy who's lame there, and he's lame, and then suddenly he can walk, and he's leaping and laughing, and he's just jumping for joy. And then you can imagine, he says, oh, this is all great. And then he goes back and sits down at the temple gates and spends the rest of his life pretending he's still lame. You'd say, what are you doing here? You're free now. You don't have to live like that anymore. What was the law there for? I mean, why do we even have this law in the first place? And you think about why you need this law, and there are two kinds of people who need this law. The two kinds of people, and Paul talks about them, the two kinds of people are slaves and children. And they're a lot alike, right? Slaves, you think about slaves, right? Slaves, by definition, it's very definition of slave, they're not free. They have no freedom. That's what it means to be a slave. So if you're a slave, you do not have any freedom. And so what do? You live your life according to rules that are set by other people because you have no freedom. Children live their lives with no freedom. Why don't children have freedom? Well, it's because, let's be honest, most children are pretty clueless little societal leeches, and they're terrible. Now, obviously, Stony Brook children, all the children here today, you guys are perfect, and you don't need any rules anymore. But other children, right? Other children need rules, right? Because we know what happens if children don't have rules. Oh, my goodness, it's a disaster. So children need rules. Slaves need rules, and they have all this. They don't like the rules. This is why teenagers are so annoying, right? Because teenagers think they don't need rules. They think, oh, I'm an adult now. I should be able to go live my life however we want. But we adults know better, right? We know, oh my goodness, you're 15 years old. You are so clueless still, right? You have no idea, right? So slaves need rules. Children need rules. But is there a difference between slaves and children? And it turns out there's a huge difference. Paul talks about this, chapter 4. He says, right at the end of chapter 3, right? Remember, we are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the day set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we're enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. So here we have it, he's saying. He's saying slaves and children are both living under these rules. Children are living under the rules when they're children. They're under the guidance of this, and they're going to be that way until the date set by their father. And we, all of us collectively, once upon a time, were like children. Not physically, but think about like the human race. Once upon a time was like children. And we're living here in this world where we have this law that's governing us. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. That's the story of humanity, Paul is saying. Before Christ, we're like children. And we have this law, and we have these rules, and we got to live under it, and we don't know what to do. And it's just sort of, we're oppressed, and we're enslaved by the law. But then one day Christ shows up, and what happens? Poof. The law is no longer needed, and you are free. You are an heir, you are a child of God, and you get to cry out to God, no longer master, you cry out to God, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father. This is what you get to cry out to God now, because now you are no longer a child. You have become an adult, and now that you're an adult, you are free of all those rules you used to live under. And again, we're back at the super happy message. This should just be joyful, right? You were used to be a child. You used to be just like a slave. And now you're free. And now that you're free, you should be thrilled. You should be excited. This should be the best moment of your life. You should be out and you're having this party of like how happy you are that you're now free of all those rules and all those constraints, that Christ has made you free, that you are now heirs of God, that you are inheriting the kingdom of God. Literally, you are an heir. So what happens? What's the problem? Well, it goes on. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? Paul looks out and says, you gotta be kidding me. Here you are. You've been freed. How? How is it even possible that you want to turn back to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? Paul is genuinely perplexed at you. Like, why are you going back? You don't have to go back. Why? What are you doing here? You imagine you meet an adult, right? You're meeting somebody. They say, oh, we should go out. And I say, yeah, I'd love to go out, but my curfew's. And you look at him and say, what? You're an adult, you're 40 years old and you have a curfew, right? Or you imagine somebody like, yeah, I have to eat all my vegetables. You know what? You don't have to eat all your vegetables when you're an adult. When you're a kid, you're like a slave. You have to eat all your vegetables, right? But when you're an adult, you don't. And this is that great thing when the kids look at the parents and say, you're not eating all your vegetables. You get to say, yeah, that's because I'm an adult. But you still have to eat all your vegetables. You want to know something? If you want to jump on the furniture, go right ahead. You can jump on the furniture all you want. It's your furniture. You bought it, you paid for it, and if you want to jump on it, go right ahead. When you become an adult, you don't have to live like a child anymore. You don't have to live under the burden of all these rules of childhood. And that's the great thing about being an adult. And we all know that's like a great thing about being an adult. Well, we don't all know that. There are still these kids living in basements forever, right? That don't want to do it. And we look at those kids living in basements, and they're 28 years old, and they're living in a basement. And you're like, why don't you want to grow up and move out? And for some reason, they're just like these people Paul's talking about. Why? You're an adult. You don't have to live like this anymore. You can go out. You can be free. You can go out and you can live this life of freedom from all of these rules and all of this stuff. And you're missing the entire point if you're constantly rushing back to the law, if you're constantly rushing back to the rules. Paul's saying to you, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, God is not going to love you any more than already does. He sent Christ to die for you. I mean, what more do you need from God? I mean, he loves you. No matter what you do, you're not going to make God say, wow, now I extra love them, right? No matter what you do, though, God's not going to love you any less. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And it's not like, oh, well, you know, if I do this, then God will stop. God's not going to stop loving you. He sent his son. Christ died for you. You are free. And no matter what you do, God will not love you one iota more or one iota less. No matter what you do, the grace that God is pouring out on you doesn't get bigger. And no matter what you do, it doesn't get smaller. God is standing there looking at you saying, here it is. Here is my love. Here is the sacrifice of my son. And we should respond and say, this is amazingly great. And what do we say instead? We say, this is amazingly great. I am so thrilled at what Christ has done. And you know, the best part is I no longer have to follow all that Old Testament law. Like, I don't have to do all those sacrifices and all the Sabbaths. That's all great. So what I need to do, though, is I got to figure out, okay, I don't have to follow that. But what are the rules Christians have to follow? Like, what's the mini law, right? So we'll take the law. Well, not at all the parts I don't have to follow anymore, but still have to keep. And we rush out to make a new law for ourselves, a new set of rules for it, the Christian rules for us. And we look at Paul and we say, it's great. And Paul's looking and said, what are you doing? And he said, well, no, I get it. Christ died for me. This is amazing. I'm so thrilled. And now that I'm free of all the law, I have to go find the new set of rules, right? Which of the Old Testament rules still apply to me now that I'm a Christian? And Paul looks at them and he says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth. That's how he describes it. I am in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. You look at Paul and you say, okay, I got it. Christ died for me. But what are the Christian rules? What's the new set of rules for Christians? Surely there's some stuff I still have to do here. Surely there's some set of rules for Christians. And Paul screams out saying, have you not been listening to me? We're in the middle of chapter 4. Have you not been listening to me? There are no rules anymore. You have been freed. You are free in Christ. Christ is there. He died for you. You don't have to live under the law. They say, okay, I get out of the old law, but what about the new law? He says, no, no, you don't have to live under any law. You are free from the law. You are free from the rules. And you say, but wait, I got all these, it just doesn't make sense to me. And Paul says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, right? He just goes right on in verse 21, like, okay, tell me, like, let me start all over again and try to explain this to you one more time, because you clearly haven't gotten it yet. And that's what we'll do next week. We'll do the next incarnation of Paul trying to deliver the same message to us, because we get so stuck on this message. We hear about the freedom of Christ. We hear about how we're free in Christ. And we instantly, like the Galatians, think that's pretty good news, but it's not quite good enough. Surely there's a little bit more to this. Surely I have to do a little bit more than be baptized into Christ. Surely there's a little bit more than faith that's required. Surely that, and Paul keeps saying, nope, you're free in Christ. Don't go back. Celebrate your freedom in Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the death of Christ. And God, we thank you and stand in awe that death has set us free from sin and the law. And that, God, you're enabling us through Christ to become fully ourselves. And that, God, we no longer have to live in terror of a law. We no longer live to live like slaves or like children. Us as Christians, the freedom to live out the life of Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. May God be with you all this week, and please enjoy your freedom in Christ.